Beginning reading at verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favour from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be a somebody and have no food. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of the righteous flourishes. An evil man is trapped by a sinful thought, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. We end the reading there at verse 22, which is our main text today. The words of verse 22 of this chapter, I particularly draw your attention to. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. This is part of a number of messages on the book of Proverbs. And last Lord's Day morning, if you were here, you may remember, I hope you remember, we're looking at the folly of the sluggard, the folly of the idle person. And today the theme very clearly is the folly of lying, the foolishness of lying, and indeed the sinfulness of lying. That is highlighted, isn't it, very clearly here in verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. William Plummer wrote many years ago, "No wickedness on earth is more common than the various forms of deceit. No wickedness on earth is more common than the various forms of deceit." Because there are various ways in which to be deceitful. There's the blatant lie. There's also all other kinds of dishonesty. But isn't there a lot of truth in what Plummer said? That no wickedness is more common than lying and deceit. That's the first aspect of truth I draw your attention to this morning. Just a reminder to us that lying is so, so prevalent. It's so prevalent. It's all around us. It's encountered everywhere, isn't it? Lying is encountered in every realm of life. The political realm. Well, you know that well, don't you? The politicians hire their spin doctors in order to spin the truth a certain way. And in so doing, they often, of course, distort the truth. One politician was famously accused of being economical with the truth. In other words, he was telling lies. A nice way of saying it, being economical with the truth. So in the political realm, we're very much aware that much of what we hear from politicians is not the truth. Now, of course, there are men of integrity and women of integrity. But so many in the political world seem to think they need to lie in order to succeed. Or how about in the world of media? Can you believe all that you read and all that you see on your television screens? There is a very powerful man in our world today, I'm sure you know who I mean, who's always talking about fake news. Fake news. And the people make fun of him because of this. But actually, there's a lot of truth in it. There's a lot of fake news about. A lot of news that is angled in a certain way and distorted and imbalanced and will lead us astray and deceive us if we're not careful and not discerning. Lies also in the economic sphere. Can you trust people you do business with? Can you trust the person who's trying to sell you something who says the product is a good one? Or might he be lying in order to make a good profit at your expense? Lies in the educational realm. Yeah, I'm sure teachers smile. Maybe they've never heard this excuse, but you know the classic excuse the teacher would be told why little Johnny didn't have his homework with him? Teacher, the dog ate it. Well, perhaps very occasionally. A particular kind of dog at a particular moment might occasionally eat a bit of homework, but I would say it's very rare. Plenty of excuses for not having your homework done, and many of them are really lies. They're lies. Lies are in the domestic sphere, sadly, even in families. Can parents always believe what their children tell them? And even can children always believe what their parents say to them? Can spouses always rely upon what their spouse tells them and create distrust and disharmony, even in the family circle? And indeed we must add as well, not only in the political and the media and the economic and the educational and domestic, but also in the ecclesiastical or church sphere. Classic example of lies and deceit is found in the case of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, who were told that they had lied to the Holy Spirit, for they pretended to give all the money that they got from the sale of a property to the church. But they were lying about it, they were being deceptive, and they were rightly accused of lying to the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God warns us over and over again of false prophecy and false prophets who would deceive, who would teach untruth, even the name of truth, and lead people astray to their spiritual harm. So yes, you'll agree, there's no doubt about it. Everywhere we turn, we'll encounter lies and deceit. And this should not surprise us, for it is so prevalent because it is of satanic origin. There is a spiritual enemy out there who just loves promote lies and falsehood. And he's so active. You'll remember how he is famously described in John 8:44, speaking of the devil as the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So you can be sure that Satan is active in our world, telling big lies as well as many other kinds of lies. Lies, for example, he tells a lie that there is no creator God, that all that we see around us, all its beauty and complexity, it's just all an accident. That's a big lie. And he's telling it. He's telling it over and over again. And many other such lies as well. And you can be sure of this as well. He's a tempter. You can be sure he'll come to you. And he'll do his utmost to cause you to give way to lying. Lying is so prevalent because there's a spiritual enemy out there who's determined to promote falsehood in our world. It's so prevalent, it's encountered everywhere, it's of satanic origin, and this we must admit, it is universal in humanity. Universal in humanity, with the exception of that perfect man, Jesus Christ. All men, all women, all young people lie, and they lie more than once. Psalm 12 verse 2 says, of the spiritual condition of Israel in the time when the psalmist was inspired to write the psalm, here's his assessment. Everyone lies to his neighbor. The land was in such a bad way, spiritually, that everyone was going around lying to their neighbors, not telling them the truth, deceiving them, flattering them. And you may well know, of course, Romans 3 verse 13 is the assessment of the spiritual condition of the Gentile world in Paul's day. There's a whole long list of sins, and here's one of them. Their tongues practice deceit. Characteristic of the fallen world. Their tongues practice deceit. Universal in humanity. Thomas Manton the Puritan said, or he wrote, most of a man's sins are in his words. Most of a man's sins are in his words. Well, is that true? Certainly, I think a lot of truth in it. We speak so many words. And how much untruth can easily slip in to those words? And you and I aren't immune, are we? We're not immune to this universal tendency in humanity. How prevalent might lying be in your life? Why might you lie? Why might we lie? Out of fear? Couldn't you be tempted to lie? You find yourself in a situation where you're afraid. You're afraid something's going to happen that you don't want to happen. I lie to escape. I'll get out of the mess by lying. Or maybe to save yourself from some kind of embarrassment. Maybe there's something you haven't done that you ought to have done, and you lie that you have done it to avoid the embarrassment of admitting that you hadn't got round to doing it. Lying to impress others can be good at that. Exaggerating the achievement or the situation to make ourselves seem even more impressive to others. That's a big temptation. Lying to gain advantage. Job interview. Maybe there's some little extra thing that you claim, you're tempted to claim, that you have, that you don't really have. Lying even to hurt others. All lies are ugly, but one of the ugliest kinds of lies is what's called a malicious lie. Have you ever been a victim of a malicious lie? Somebody out to hurt you, somebody out to harm you, and they're spreading lies about you to take away your good name. Horrible. And you and I could be tempted to do that as well. Malicious lies. There's a lot about that in the Psalms. The psalmists are feeling victimized and hurt by the malice of their enemies who are speaking against them. Or even this, here's a real temptation. Tempted to lie to avoid hurting someone's feelings. To avoid hurting someone's feelings. Rather than perhaps maintaining a diplomatic silence or changing the subject, you actually tell them what they want to hear, even though it's not true. Can't we be tempted to do that? And how good we are, or can be, at making excuses. The famous, of course, it's only a white lie. But we know from the Word of God that there's no such thing as a white lie. All lies are filthy, they're ugly in the sight of a holy God. And more than that, even the tiniest lie tends to need another lie to cover it up. Walter Scott put it famously, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." It becomes a tangled web of lies, one lie on another to cover another one up. How prevalent lying is. What a spiritual battle you and I are in, aren't we? What a
What a spiritual battle we're in. What strength we need. What love of truth we need to be given. What grace we need day by day to be able to refrain from the lie and tell the truth. For lying is so prevalent and even to a degree approved of in our fallen world. The second thing that we can say arising from this verse, and it's very clear from this, lying is so detestable to God. It's so detestable to God. The Hebrew phrase here in the older translation is translated an abomination. One of the strongest Hebrew terms that can be used to express the disfavor of God towards something. An abomination. That's what the Lord thinks of lying lips. They're an abomination unto him. That word abomination has the idea of utterly loathsome, totally vile, absolutely disgusting in his sight. Lying lips are so detestable to him. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, rightly observed, lying perverts the purpose or the end for which God created speech. No wonder God finds it detestable. Why did he give us speech? To be able to communicate with one another, to understand one another, to explain things to one another. And yet in our warped humanity, we spoil that good gift when we tell lies. There's a lot about lying in the book of Proverbs. The word abomination is used again in relation to it in that famous list of things that are detestable to the Lord or that are an abomination to him. And you'll notice that the things mentioned twice there's a reference to forms of lying. The first one, there's a lying tongue. And then down the second last one, a false witness that speaks lies. For what harm a false witness can do by perjuring himself in a court of law? What harm he can do to an innocent person? And God's word says that such things are an abomination to the Lord. In fact, God's word tells us solemnly that giving ourselves to lies and never repenting of our lies will subject us to the holy wrath of the God of truth. Even in the book of Proverbs, there is a suggestion of this, that lying has very bad consequences. May give you short-term gain, may get you out of the immediate problem that you're in, but in the longer term, it'll not do you good, it'll do you harm. Let's just give you one verse, Proverbs 21, verse 6. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. There's many a fortune made by a lying tongue, isn't there? There's many a con man and an expert in cheating vulnerable people out there with lying tongues. But the word of God says here in Proverbs, the gain is only fleeting and it's a deadly snare. The New Testament is very specific about the judgment of God coming upon unrepentant liars. In that very solemn description of judgment we have in Revelation 21 and verse 8, listen to these words. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Note how lying there is classified with things that we would very clearly see are very wrong. Practicing magic arts. Murdering. And yet it adds in here, all liars. In fact, I think that the sin of lying can be one of the points in which God can really convict someone of their sin and cause them to flee to the Saviour for forgiveness. One of the things we used to do in Galway on the streets would be try and show people that they were sinners, because people didn't think of themselves as sinners. We used to say, well, who has ever kept this commandment all of the time, that you shall not bear false witness, or you shall not tell lies? Could anyone dare to say that I've always kept this commandment? Maybe even here today, there's someone who's never truly repented of sin. But can't you see? Can't you see that you have lied? You've broken the law of God. You're guilty in the sight of a holy God. You need to repent. You need to receive that forgiveness that is available to all who will come to Jesus Christ to be cleansed of the filth of their sin and made pure in his sight. There is forgiveness for liars. Praise be to God for his grace. But lying is no small thing. It's no trivial offense. We should never, ever take it lightly. For this proverb tells us plainly and clearly, the Lord detests lying lips. They are an abomination to him. Lying is so prevalent. Lying is so detestable to God. But then there's another thing in this proverb we shouldn't miss out on. The truth is so delightful to God. The truth is so delightful to God. Look at the second part of the proverb. Yes, the first part says, the Lord detests lying lips. But as with many of the prophets, then there's a striking contrast. Here's the other side of the story. But he delights in man. He delights in people who are truthful or who deal in truth. This shouldn't surprise us when we think about it. Should it surprise us not at all that the Lord should delight in those who are truthful? For he himself is truth, isn't he? At the perfect character of God, one aspect of his perfect being which should make us want to come here today and worship him, is he is the God of truth. No lies with him. It is impossible for him to lie. Psalm 31 verse 5, the psalmist can with confidence commit his spirit into the Lord's hands. Because of this, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. The God of truth. By his very character, God is truth. And he therefore loves the truth and those who speak the truth. It's delightful to him. Think also of the truthfulness of his word. The truthfulness of God's word. Isn't this a characteristic of the word of God unlike any other word? No matter how fine human compositions may be, no matter what aspects of truth they may contain, there'll be flaws in them. The Lord's word is perfectly truthful. As Psalm 12 and verse 6 tells us, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times, perfectly pure, perfectly reliable, perfectly flawless is the word. The Lord, the truth is so delightful to God because of the truthfulness of his word. And think again, it shouldn't surprise us that truth is delightful to God because of the truthfulness of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How did Jesus memorably describe himself in John's Gospel? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you remember what he said to his disciples on one occasion in John 8, verses 31 and 32? What was his teaching like? He said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The teaching of Jesus was characterized by truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Jesus could honestly say, as he said over and over again to his disciples, I tell you the truth. Or, verily, verily, amen, amen. Absolute truth. Absolute reliability. In this world so full of confused messages, be reconvinced and reassured this very day, dear friends, the word of God is truth. You can believe it and depend upon it and trust it and rely upon it. And Jesus Christ is truth. Listen to what is said of him famously in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And that's in the midst of describing his sufferings. When he was under the utmost of pressure, when anyone might be tempted to tell some kind of lie or somehow compromise the truth, he did not. No deceit was found in the mouth of our perfect Saviour. It should not surprise us then that the Lord God loves the truth and delights in those who tell the truth because of the truthfulness of his Son. And one more thing. Think then of the truthfulness he requires from all of us who profess to be his people. The truthfulness he requires from us. We read from Ephesians 4 in verse 25. Here are the words of it again. Therefore each of you must, note the word must, put off falsehood. So these are like the filthy clothes you must put off because you're a new person in Christ Jesus. You have the Spirit of truth living in you. Therefore, you must put off falsehood. And the other side. And speak truthfully to his neighbour. And an additional reason is given. We owe the truth all the more to one another as the people of God, as fellow believers. We owe the truth to everyone. But especially here's another reason why we owe the truth to one another, why Christians owe the truth to one another, for we are all members of one body. We're all members of one body. Therefore we owe the truth to one another. A rather similar statement is made in Colossians in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You put off the old self, you're putting on the new self. What does that new self look like? Well, it's been renewed in the image of its creator. One great characteristic of the creator is he's the God of truth. And therefore you and I, who profess to know him and love him, must keep on putting off falsehood. And must keep on putting on the garments of truth. Three things we've seen then. Lying is so prevalent. How hard it is, isn't it? Not to be sucked into that kind of atmosphere, to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. People around about you in work, people around about you in school, the people around about you in society will say, oh, there's nothing wrong with a little lie. It's very common, but you must resist the time. Remember this. Remember what the Word of God has said this morning to you here in Proverbs 12 and verse 22. This is what the Lord thinks of lying lips. He detests them. They are an abomination to him. Let's take that to heart. Let's hear that word abomination. And let's therefore hate lies. And on the other hand, let's take to heart the second statement, that the Lord delights in men who are truthful. He delights in you as you speak the truth. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it's unpopular, even when it may bring you trouble, even when it may cost you, the Lord will delight in you when you speak the truth. Don't we need to pray? What that wise man prayed is recorded in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 8. There were two requests he made. One was to keep riches and poverty far from him. And this was the other one. Here's what he prayed. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And this proverb, I trust, will just help us to do that as we reflect upon it. To keep falsehood and lies far from us. Because we know don't we? The Word of God tells you today, the Lord detests lyingness, but he delights in men who are truthful. Amen. We referred to Psalm number 12 a number of times. It's appropriate now we sing it in praise to God. Psalm number 12, the tune score, 163. Note stanza 2.